Hello and welcome to Start Sit Cut, our beginning of the week mini episode. I'm one of your hosts, Max McCoy. Join me as always. He just hit the transfer portal this morning. It's Jason Waterfalls. Wow, buddy. Like, talk us through that decision.
Kyle McCord to Georgia. Is that what we're thinking?
Wow. I would just want to say I would send a proof of life to Andre immediately. You know, I would send it like stat just to make sure he's okay. Because obviously not a great weekend for Andre and rest of the Georgia Hive, where, you know, we were used to the sounds of a kennel full of barking. It was a very mournful silence. But yeah, look, you know, we kind of kicked this around a thread a little bit this morning. This isn't the best part of college football. The scramble. It's exciting. I'll say that. It's very exciting, but it is kind of disorienting to be like, now all of the good quarterbacks are going to change up and we don't really know who's going to be where for a little bit. If you did it, like, let's say you were a quarterback at Notre Dame, okay, and you had won 4 out of 4 national championships, and you'd gotten to a point where your life coach or your counselor or your therapist was like, I think you've done all you can do here. I think you need to hit the transfer portal. Where would you, Jason Waterfalls, where would you be looking at? Where would you be thinking?
Well, it would have been the Pac-12, but that's about to go away. Mm-hmm. I think that maybe Texas, and just go down there and make a ton of money and just see what's going on.
You want to mix it up with Arch Manning and Quinn?
I mean, Ewers? If I've got 4 natties already.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. You're not wrong. I did look, man, so much to talk about from this weekend. With the Kyle McCord transfer stuff, I did see people whispering about Arch Manning. Is Arch Manning going to leave? I don't get that sense. It didn't seem like he's wanting to leave.
I don't know if it's real or not, but there was a picture on Twitter, so it's got to be real, that I saw with Arch was walking with Lebby, who's now the coach in Mississippi State or something.
I think that's really illegal. Like if Jeff Lebby's on the UT Austin campus, just like, you know, going to personal development class with Arch.
We just saw this with the committee. What are rules? The only one that gets in trouble for anything in the NCAA is Jim Harbaugh. And I'm not doing like a...
Don't buy cheeseburgers. Don't spy on people. Okay? Don't do spy.
Other teams aren't buying cheeseburgers and spying on people. Like, he's the only one that gets caught and get banned 6 games this year and still be the number one team is pretty remarkable.
You know what my theory is? I think it's that psychosis look in his eye, where the NCAA is like, he can't keep getting away with that look on his face. He's done something. You just got to find it, because we have to suspend someone who looks like that. It's making everyone uncomfortable. Do you know what Jeff Lebby looks like? Just like
I really don't. I assume he looks like Dan Mullen's son, like eldest son.
I cannot emphasize, I didn't know what he looked like until like a couple weeks ago, once he got the gig. I just assumed kind of Lane Kiffin light. Biggest disparity in what I thought he was going to look like versus what he actually looks like.
Brett Bielema's son. Got it.
Okay, that's better. And this isn't me shaming his appearance. I think he's a great looking dude. I hope he's happy. I think he's a great coach. I really do. Just not what I expected. You know, it's probably like when a lot of people would meet me and they would be like, this is not what I expected. And I'd be like, maybe don't say that. Or maybe don't explain it. Definitely. You know,
here's what I'll say. Jeff Lebby looks like the coach of Mississippi State.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. I think we're both on the same page of the Sam Pittman theory, where your coach should reflect your mascot. And the better you can do with that, I think the better for your program. And man, like, I completely forgot about this. This isn't in the rundown, but briefly, how happy were you to see Bobby Petrino come home? Bobby, come home.
Of all of the come homes that we've done, Bobby Petrino going from Texas A&M, not interim head coach,
yep,
to Arkansas's offensive coordinator,
right,
is one of the wild. Why would Sam Pittman agree to that?
Because Sam Pittman is on life support, and the only person who can resurrect him with the paddles is Bobby Petrino, baby.
Okay, I want you to quote that sentence. That's your next tattoo. Sam Pittman is on life support, and the only person that can revive him is it's Bobby Petrino.
Listen, Sam's got a fever, and the only prescription is more Petrino. And I mean, look, it's college football. Who cares? I'm here for the drama of it. What if, I don't know, the Dane Cook movie, where he marries, or like he dates a woman, and then they get married the next boyfriend after.
Good luck, Chuck.
Yes, thank you. Man, you were a little quick on that, honestly. Some people would say too quick, you know.
I was kind of a good luck Chuck 5 for a while. We don't have to get into it.
It's not a big deal. You know, we all have, look, we were both into Entourage for a while. I don't love it, but it's just a true thing that existed for both of us. as most people are, or males our age, of a certain viewpoint and mindset. But I think, what if Bobby Petrino becomes like the Grim Reaper, like the Slim Reaper, and he just goes program to program, joins for a year, and then they wipe out the entire coaching staff?
That's exactly my, I meant that more than I meant like, oh, coach in waiting, here comes Bobby Petrino, then Sam's gone, and then Bobby takes over. Bringing him in just like confirms you're going to get fired. Chaos is coming to your offensive team. Like, what is Sam Pittman, how does this happen? However, yeah, I mean, we don't care about those sort of things in college football. I think what we're going to spend the rest of the episode talking about is things we do care about in college football.
Now, I want to push back. I do care about that. I do care about Bobby Petrino and where he's at and what Jeff Levy actually looks like. I care about those things passionately.
Okay. So, big announcement early then, maybe. I don't know if you were prepared to make this. Is Arkansas your new Texas A&M?
Absolutely not. I love the people of Arkansas. I love the fans. I love the drama of that situation. I'm not joining the Bobby Petrino offensive ride again. I can't do that, you know. Even though I was only in for like 2.5 games, maybe 3. I'm not gonna jump
the thing you literally signed up for broke you, and now you don't want to do it again.
Yeah, but it broke me in a way I didn't think it would break me. It broke me in a sad way, you know.
Yeah,
it's like when you go to a movie,
it's almost like everyone tried to warn you. It's almost like that.
No, everyone was like, I agree, it could be dramatic and insane, and it kind of was, but not in the right way, in a weird way, you know. I wish I could bet on stuff like that. I would have made a lot of money off Jimbo Fisher getting fired. You know, I think we all would have probably.
I mean, if we find the right person, you can always bet, right? I mean, we just may not be legal. Get back on your Bitcoin ride.
Little Bitcoin crypto overseas action. I like that. Okay. So we're going to do Starts to Cut. We're going to just kind of collaborate on these because they're such big college football topics, kind of as the climactic end to our season this year. So we're going to start with the conference championship weekend. I like starting it. I felt like it was dramatic. I do think a lot of apologies are in order, from people involved, but also, from ourselves. But how did you feel about conference championship weekend?
I mean, we got to start with accountability. We missed on a couple. You really got to start Washington at this point. This is, oh boy, you have to like pick your words very carefully. Cause if you say Washington did what they had to do, then other teams come up real quick what happened there. I really honestly did not see Oregon losing that game. I thought they were playing the best, their margin, their everything, similar opponents, blah, blah, blah. I still don't really understand where Washington is getting this juice to keep doing what they've been doing. It's actually pretty incredible. And I hope that they didn't use it all up to this point, and then they look like duds in the playoff. I hope that they bring that same thing to the playoffs.
I think just personal accountability. I think I got a little caught up in the Dan Lanning voice. So I didn't really like, you know, examine the fundamentals. That's on me. I just want to apologize to Washington and Washington fans. I didn't give you enough respect. I didn't even.
You did for a while. Like that could have been, this could have been the greatest ride of you in the Pac-12. As a relationship in history, because you were very, very, very high on Washington for a long, long time. Then they spooked you. You jumped off. Then you went against them. Like it was almost sad to see.
It was, and I can't tell did they just finally get healthy? You know, because I know their slot guy McMillan came back kind of full force. I know they got some dudes back. So I can't tell if it's that or if they're just bad. This iteration of Washington is a bad matchup for Oregon. And they're just able to beat them reliably and consistently. So I just want to apologize to them. Great game. Great job. I don't know if you or Andre said this in the thread. This is what we get for, you know, really putting all of our money on Bo Nix. It finally got us, you know?
I mean, I would imagine that was Andre, but I also believe that would be you in your heart.
Yeah.
Believing in Bo Nix. And here he is. He let you down again at the end.
Are you unnecessarily offended in proximity to Jaden Daniels being like -1200 for the Heisman and Michael Penix Jr. like, I don't know, like being like +600 or something, not even really being considered seriously?
I don't know why that is. I'm not offended by it because I've got money on Jaden Daniels. So I'm actually pretty excited about that.
That's good.
But I don't know. These three players are so freaking close when you look at all the stats and everything. And guess what? Jaden Daniels has the worst record. So
yeah,
how are the other two not just absolutely battling him? That being said, you look at some of the stats, and Jaden Daniels is having an actually insane year, like Joe Burrow, yeah, LSU type
year. Don't bring that to me. I've seen that online. What I watched with Joe Burrow is so different from what I've seen with Jaden Daniels.
I get that.
No disrespect to Jaden Daniels.
But that's why I said from a stats perspective. Right. I agree. I'm not bringing that this is the greatest Tim Tebow college football career of all time type situation to the table. That season from Joe Burrow was absolutely incredible. But statistically, Jaden Daniels, like no eye test, just statistically, it's actually very, very insane.
It is. It was a very different SEC a few years ago, Joe Burrow versus what Jaden Daniels has played against. But I just, Michael Penix Jr., I mean, he's got the narrative. He's got the stats. He's got the unbeaten record. He's in the playoff. Like, I don't know what else my guy has to do. I wonder if this is just, unfortunately, East Coast, West Coast bias. And he's just really not going to get, because I feel like if he was at LSU and Jaden Daniels was at Washington, changed the records, I think Michael Penix Jr. would be like a minus 1 trillion to win the Heisman.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know if that's East Coast versus West Coast. I think that that's just SEC versus everyone, more of a situation. I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
What do you think is the opening line for the Oregon Liberty Bowl? Now, let me repeat that, because Liberty Bowl makes it sound like it's the Liberty Bowl, which I actually think that there is a Liberty Bowl.
Yes.
Oregon is playing against Liberty in the Verbo Fiesta Bowl. I think that that is going to get uncomfortable. And I know Liberty's good, but my goodness.
Here's the thing, though. This gets in the weird spot of, and we'll talk about it in a second, what do you do with these bowl matchups? Because I don't even know game to game who's healthy. Like, oh, so-and-so isn't playing and he's the starting middle linebacker. Now, like, everyone's transferring. Everyone's opting out. I don't know what's going on. I remember watching the Tennessee-Clemson game last year and being like, I don't know half of these people. I don't understand what's going on. I would say 17.5, something like that, you know?
It's going to be ridiculous.
I do think Jamie Chadwell's got Liberty kind of rocking and rolling. And Liberty, like,
it's
Liberty,
14.5 right now.
Is it? See, and I wonder if that's some of the opt-outs.
Don't take our advice, but I might be hammering Oregon on
well,
that
it's
one,
like, you know,
Bo Nix, depending on the opt-outs.
Right? Bo Nix definitely not playing, so I don't know what their backup situation's like.
I don't know. He might play. Why would he not play?
That would be a Bo Nix move. Just be like, I'm going to play. I'm going to break.
He loves college football. He said it. Yeah.
He's exactly. Like, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Bo, you can't, but I am. I will be here. Look, I would just say, I also want to apologize to Alabama, because I just didn't take him seriously. I said some mean things about him at the beginning of this year. They've proved me wrong. But even more, I think Hugh Freeze should apologize to Florida State. And we'll talk about the playoff situations. But I feel like if Hugh Freeze could just talk to his defense about not letting them Alabama convert a 4th-and-31, no one's mad today. Everyone's happy. It's a good, fun college football Twitter. But instead, we get what we get.
Let's just get into it. The weekend was great as far as watching, until you get to Sunday and then the selection show happens. My biggest takeaway, and I mean this genuinely, I don't understand, and this has nothing to do with Andre, which, by the way, Andre, status check, health check, wellness check, I think he's annoyed. I don't think he's devastated. I think that maybe enough winning leading up to this point has made it a less bitter pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, nobody's happy. I was texting with Madison this weekend because she is a Georgia fan that went to Florida State.
Hmm.
So that is,
yeah,
she's not in a good spot. But going from 1-6, just because you lost your conference championship game and you lost no other games besides that, is, to me, the wildest thing of the weekend. I do not understand it. I don't understand a lot of things that we're going to get into. But
well, let's go
that
ahead.
Is the wild, kinda, that is the wildest piece.
You brought it to the fraud on the line. So let's go ahead and just talk through it. I don't understand. You texted that. I don't understand that. I don't understand your rationale there. Because to me, look, and I had money on Georgia. I want to see Georgia. I do think they're one of the top four teams. I think when you play that schedule, which isn't great, and you have your last, the SEC championship functions as a playing game, and you lose. And if there weren't other unbeatens, you have an argument. But because there are, you are now subject to the whims of the committee. And I don't disagree with them, not including Georgia. I think everybody else earned the right. I think Georgia fumbled the bag a little bit, should have beat Alabama. And I don't think in past years you can make a case why Georgia still should be included. This is not the year for that, though.
Well, and I think that goes to the CFP committee as well, because if there was two big narratives of the weekend, which is four best teams or four most deserving teams. Mm-hmm. And the committee has been saying the four best teams. I also think, do you think this is the last year of four? They just didn't give a crap and they wanted to pick what they wanted to pick. And they don't, like, precedent had came up a ton of time. I mean, this is not an original point, but it seemed like this was a very different process, because any other year, I've never heard them talk about an individual player as much as they did. And what's his name? Boo Corrigan?
Yeah.
You couldn't pay me to be in that job. Now, Baby Billy Bayless calls me soft because of that.
Yeah.
But you could not pay me.
Calls you soft because here's the thing. He needs to get paid more out of all the, I don't know if they get paid or what, but he needs a little bonus. But I do think it needs, see, honestly, I would televise that Hunger Games style. Like, draw the rock. Who's the one who's going to eat the camera after we select, because someone's going to have to take that L, and Boo Corrigan got it this year.
Somebody's past is going to be drummed up online because two fan bases are irate.
But it's like, he didn't do anything. He's like, I'm just the turnstile villain today. Like, why are you yelling?
And he has villain face too, which
he does.
That's not his fault.
I think you're not wrong. I do think they threw precedent to the wind a little bit, but I also think, some of the past matchups where it's like, hey, Cincinnati, they deserve it. Here they go. And then, oof, what a whiff here. And then TCU, they lost, in their conference championship, but we're still going to put them in because they deserve it. And, they did beat Michigan, so kudos. But then they got in the Natty. So I think I've always been a four best. I'm not a deserving guy, just put the four best teams. So I have no issue with this because, and I know Florida State fans are irate about this, but I don't want to watch a Florida State team who I still think is really good. I don't want to take anything away from them, but they are on their third string quarterback, maybe their backup, by the time they play this game. But I don't want to see a double digit underdog in the playoff. That should not be a situation that I'm watching. So I do think if you'd have put Alabama or Georgia in, I don't care. I'm good with both. I'm not good with Florida State because they are a different team. Now, if Jordan Travis doesn't break his leg, they're the three to me. They might even be the two. Even if he breaks his leg early in the season and we get a sense that Rodemaker is pretty good or decent, like, and they're a different team, but they're still like heavyweight contender, I'm okay with that. But we just don't have enough of a track record. And I think I get a little whatever with the politicking and the rationalizing that fan bases do of like, well, this team beat this team by this amount, ergo they're probably better. But it's like, you have to consider context. What was the lead up to that game? What are the emotional stakes in that game? What was the health situation in that game? So once you start splitting hairs like that, I'm like, it's over. This was pretty cut and dried to me. I think I texted y'all what I thought would happen. And I don't know if I got the seeding right, but I think I had the teams correct. And so I think when you remove the emotion out of it, I think they got it right, honestly.
And that's why I think that this is actually one of the more incredible, like, we've done this before with other playoffs and who gets left out. It's usually Ohio State or Michigan that ends up getting left out, or they switch with each other. But this one's tough. And the biggest thing, I think that Georgia should have fallen from 1 to 4 because the only game they lost was the conference championship against a very, very good Alabama team. That being said, I got to tell you something. I think that I'm going to put a prediction in, a way too early prediction,
okay,
that the next coach, it's not going to be for a little while, the next coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish is going to be Tommy Rees.
Whoa. Okay, I like
that. Because of this run that they've had where, since the Texas game, he's handled maybe, one of the, I don't want to say the least talented Alabama offenses in a while,
yes,
but it's fair. it's not had all of the big main players that they've had in years past. And they're pretty good. I mean, he's got Milroe playing better than I think any of us thought was maybe, he's past the ceiling that we kind of put on him. Florida State, I cannot believe they came out and admitted that they made this call because the quarterback was injured. And the Boo guy, he even said, if it was running back, if it was wide receiver, like, having admitted that, I think is the craziest precedent that has now been set going forward.
Do you mean because you're floored by the honesty, or you think him admitting that is incorrect and the fact that he said it is wild?
No, I'm floored by the honesty. Yeah. Like, everyone was thinking it. usually that committee is pretty buttoned up even mm-hmm. after the final selections. They'll say this, that, and the other, but they had to say the only reason, I mean, you know, I don't think any of us think that Florida State is the fourth or the top four best team in the country when you consider all the other teams. But they really brought it down to one person because that team went undefeated yeah. and they are in a major conference and they are not in. That is insane to me.
And I think it speaks to what you said, this being the last year of the four, you can throw precedent caution to the wind because this will all kind of be a moot point because we might be splitting hairs about Penn State and Ole Miss next year and no one really cares. But I think the original sin here is this should have been a six team playoff. And I the only thing I can understand is it was not six teams because the kids got to study and it's exam season and there's too much travel, which we all know was a farce. So you could have solved this years ago if you just said, let's go six, power five, and then one other alternate. And it can be group of five. It can be a non-conference championship winner, whatever. And that solves all the issues here. But instead we're looking at, and I do genuinely feel bad for Florida State because they're definitely back. Norvell's back. That team's great. I think they're so talented. I think they remind me a lot of Texas, just without a quarterback injury, or just with a quarterback injury. So I feel like it's really unfair because I really think they could compete and get weird and really muck it up. But I just don't want
to. And remember, Louisville's good. We got to remember that Louisville.
Are they good?
They might be really. They fell off once I started saying that, so I jinxed them out.
Listen.
Apologies to Louisville.
People are asking, did Notre Dame ruin Louisville? That's what I've heard. You know?
That's what I've heard. Yeah. That's what I've heard.
It's a viable comment. I mean,
they won a couple games after that. But I don't know, man. It's not fun. It's tough. I did read that because of that freaking alliance situation that happened, like the 12 team was supposed to start this like right now.
Right.
Or the expanded, whatever the number was going to end up being. I think it was going to be 12. But because of the alliance stuff that went on and trying to break away and all that, like it got delayed a year. Would have been.
Some people are saying that's SEC propaganda because the alliance was feet dragged so that they could poach Oklahoma and Texas. I don't know what the truth is, honestly. But it does feel like we're getting to a place where this will hopefully be solved in a big way in the coming years. But I do wonder if it comes at the loss of the regular season really meaning stuff, you know, and knowing like because if Michigan, like if this was next year, could Michigan roll into the Big Ten championship and be like, we're in, let's just don't get anybody injured. You know, and let's just like do our best against Iowa and see if we can like win 3-0. That's not a better product to me, you know?
Right. I mean, that's ultimately my thing with the Jordan Travis. They can reset whatever precedent, but I just find it very, very interesting that they are literally calling out individual players because like Jordan Travis tweeted or whatever platform he put it on. He said like, I should have broken my leg earlier in the season.
Right.
In my mind, he should have broken it the last play later in the season because then they wouldn't know what Rodemaker could do or not.
Done
do,
Aaron which, Rodgers, by the way, it's like it's fractured, but I think I'm coming back in a week. I think
it's. And Rodemaker got concussed last week and then came in the game and then was out during the week. So how are we evaluating concussions, letting kids back into the game?
I don't know what happened with that, but the entire Florida defense should have been suspended because that was the dirtiest concussion I've ever seen in my life, honestly.
It was blatant. Like they had to review it forever. Like why? That was pretty clear. I mean, they did kick the kid out, but probably both of them should have been kicked out, the two Florida defenders for targeting. But yeah, I get it. I don't like it, and when we're doing the whole Georgia thing, obviously because of the proximity to Andre, I mean, they've been number one in the country for X number of years. We're just counting it this year, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But the fact that they have one loss and the fact that Texas has one loss and there's just no argument that Texas gets in and Georgia doesn't, I think that there's other conversations here.
It's like they won their conference. They beat Alabama. Georgia couldn't beat Alabama. Texas is obviously in, right? That's a no-brainer to me. It got musical chairsy, and it got the specific iteration of the musical chairs to me made it to where Georgia can't get in. If it was any other combination,
you called that right away.
Yeah, it's sad.
I didn't see it. I still don't see it. I understand it. Let me be clear. I'm not just like being contrarian to be contrarian. if we're talking about the four best teams, I just think that is Texas looks really freaking good. Yeah. But guess what? So did Oregon before they lost a second time to Washington.
I thought about recording like a sad Dan Lanning phone call to Jim, apologizing that he couldn't hold up his end of the bargain, you know? But I couldn't. I tried a couple runs in the garage, but it was like when you're doing that voice, it's so loud and masculine that it's hard to be sad. You know what I mean? So it's work in progress, man.
But does the sad just come through in more loudness and more masculinity?
It was,
right?
Like the closest I got
just
was
escaping his body.
It was just like, hey, Jim. And just slower. It was like, ah, it's Dan. It's Dan, Chief. I'm sorry. I don't know. We didn't hold up our end of the bargain, bud. And it's just, it doesn't work, you know? It just doesn't work. So a project for next year, maybe. I don't know. I do like the Tommy Rees to Notre Dame. I want to write that down. That's an unimportant prediction that I want to keep track of. Because you're right.
I heard his name a lot over the last 2 weekends. A lot.
Like, man, so I think this isn't the best Georgia team. It's a significant downgrade. They even showed that graphic during the game. They're giving up 40 more yards rushing per game. And I think it's just, look, they're throwing everybody into the NFL. And if you don't absolutely hit like complete killers in your recruiting class, you're going to take a step back. I still think they're one of the four best. And I think Alabama's the same way. I don't think this is a great Alabama team. I think it's really a product of, I think the coaching and seeing how they've evolved and transformed and gotten better. And they've made a lot of what they, have, which isn't as much as they've had in the past. So look, are you more, if you're Michigan, are you more upset that you feel like no one's talking about how dominant your season has been, or that it leaked on social media, the room's reaction to playing Alabama instead of Florida State, which wasn't a good look for the program? I would argue it was less like, oh no, it's Alabama, and more like, whoa, Florida State didn't get in? That's crazy. That was my interpretation of it.
I think we could interpret it that all we want. That is not how everyone's going to use it against Michigan. When Michigan was more in this hypothetical, scared that it was Alabama than Florida State was about getting in. I mean, I think Florida State kind of knew, and that's kind of my reaction to their reaction. I mean, I'm sure they're devastating. They're flipping tables after it, but their initial reaction was just a little subdued. But I don't, if you're Michigan, that's the team you don't want to play, right?
I don't know, man. I still think Milroe's limited. You can still like force him into a certain kind of game that is not too historic. Weirdly, I think they kind of mirror each other. JJ McCarthy's the same way. If you want to beat them, you got to make them throw. I think Michigan's got better line play and a better supporting cast and a deeper, like more senior led, like junior led leadership situation. But it's like, I don't know. If I'm Michigan, I'm like, look, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. So I love the idea of whipping Ohio State. I love the idea of beating Alabama, and I love the idea of playing who else is there, you know, when the smoke clears.
Did you see JJ Watt's social media post?
I love it. I thought it was a great idea.
Emergency 16 playoff where Michigan and Washington get byes, and then the other four play each other.
I think let's do it. Like become ungovernable college football and just be like, we're playing. We're going to pay out of our own pocket for the officials. What are you going to do about it? Nothing.
Could you imagine what Michigan and Jim Harbaugh would do if they would switch up the rules last minute like that and just be like, hey, let's just figure it out.
I love it. Sponsored by Connor Stallion's new OnlyFans page. Like, it's like we can make a whole deal out of this, you know? I wanted to make Iowa apologize to us just for... I'd rather make the Big Ten West apologize to everyone because I don't think we talk enough about how terrible that division is, where it's just not seeing anyone worthy to play Michigan or Ohio State.
And I don't know what the plan is, by the way. I'm not up on... I'm waiting until next year for somebody to explain it to me. It's like this in-season tournament. I kind of got it, but now that I've seen the courts and I've seen what the NBA in-season tournament bracket is, I'm understanding it a little bit more. Are Washington and Oregon both going to the West? East and West is going away? Like, all of these conferences expanding, they each kind of have different plans for the two top teams get in. There's no East and West. There's going to be pods. There's all these different things. I don't know what it is.
From what I understand, there's no divisional format. They're calling it a flex, protect, XVIII model, which I definitely know what that Roman numeral is. I didn't want to embarrass anybody else who doesn't know that. And it's like there's protected opponents, but also rotating opponents for different universities. So I don't know what that means.
Well, I bring up all of that and admit what I don't know to say. As long as the Big Ten West goes away, the leaders conference or the generals conference, whatever it's called, it needs to not exist as an entity that sends a team to play in Indianapolis against Michigan or Ohio
State. It's tough, man. We don't talk enough about how terrible it is. Would you be sitting or cutting the college football playoff process?
I'm going to start it.
You're going to start? Okay, because we kind of talked through it, but I was curious where you wanted to...
I like this honesty about the one-player situation, yeah. And it creates absolute chaos because now you don't know what they're going to use as fodder to make their decision, and now we're right back to anarchy.
Yeah, and it's the truth. If in the NFL, the most important player is the quarterback. We know that. They've even changed the rules to protect the quarterback. They kind of have in college football. So why not be honest about that? Of like, if it can be the deepest roster ever, but if it's a guy who was playing like low-level high school football last year, you're not going to be as competitive with some of these other teams. And I know, unfortunately, the Ohio State precedent with Cardale Jones, you know, really breaks this, but I feel like that was a one of one, honestly. I don't know. But I appreciate it as well. Let's talk. I want to sit the bowl matchups. How do you feel about bowl matchups? Do you want to sit that or cut that?
Do you mean them being made or what has actually occurred in the matchups that we got?
I'll say bowl season / bowl matchups because it's all kind of a piece together for me.
I'm going to start it. I like it a lot because I think this Oregon Liberty matchup is absolutely insane. Right. A team that was about to become a top four if they would have beat Washington is now playing Liberty, which all respect to Liberty, I said it earlier, but that seems like it's going to be chaos. But Tennessee taking on Iowa has the chance to be one of the funniest games on the planet ever.
Like,
so how could you not be happy about that?
I think, holistically, and I mentioned it, I am a little dubious about all of the bowl season just because of opt-outs and transfers. And I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know what to prepare for. The Tennessee-Iowa clash in particular is like the immovable object versus the...
the unstoppable force.
But like, I don't know which is which. They're both disgusting.
I know.
Like watching Joe Milton throw 100 mile an hour screen passes into an Iowa helmet might be their best form of offense. I want nothing to do with that game. I don't want to watch it. I don't want to see it.
I want everything to do with this game. This Iowa team, you want to talk about not ragging on the Big Ten West enough? We've also have not given Iowa enough credit for being just absolute force of chaos in college football. Their over-under for each half was 0.5. They have no offense to speak of at all, but their defense... kind of good. I mean, they just gave up 26 points, whatever, to Michigan. Michigan's really, really good. I think that this could be a hilarious game. Like one quarter is going to be 0-0, then the next quarter is going to be like Tennessee scores 40, and then the next quarter they shut them down.
I think it might be like 5-2.
It could be like,
you know, just be like gross, disgust. Like there are two safeties and one field goal in this game. Why, God, why? How do you feel about playing the strip for parts Oregon State program?
Yeah, I mean, I assume Sam's going to play in this game. And I think DJU is already gone. So I'm not going to feel great about this win. We're at 2 p.m. on Friday, December 29th. Okay. That doesn't feel great. Yeah. But as far as like the bowl selection and all that, I like that they get to take Oregon State, Notre Dame, put them in El Paso, and then there's a game there at 2 p.m. on a Friday. Like, I love this. I love this. Like, I don't know who's playing who for what reason. This is always a Big Ten versus SEC matchup, all of that nonsense. I kind of like that they get to pick the teams. Like Iowa, Tennessee is subjectively hilarious. A pretty good Notre Dame team, not great at all. I get it. I'm not doing any other bits, but a pretty good Notre Dame team that's on a high is about to take on an Oregon State team that is begging the West Mountain West Conference to like, hey, let us be like kind of part of you. It's just,
can I be honest with you right now?
It's just a lot. It's a lot for Oregon State.
It's a no-win situation for Notre Dame. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
It's like, it's okay. You have everything to lose. The narrative is against you. You're supposed to win. You're supposed to destroy them. You're Notre Dame. Oregon State can't even get anyone to open their door. Their coach has left. He took most of their staff with them. DJU's gone.
The coach, the quarterback, and the staff are all gone. Let's play Notre Dame.
And if you lose, El Paso, it's going to be one of the more humiliating losses in recent memory, to be honest with you. So I would actually hate that situation.
Oh, me, Notre Dame. Yeah. Yeah, I get it. I get it for sure. I just don't think that's going to happen.
I don't understand if we're making content into, or everything into content. I mean, I kind of think we need to do a bowl season matchup draft. And I want to see, like, with the first pick of the January 1st bowls, the Orange Bowl selects whoever. And we can get rid of some, like, the lines of, like, this bowl always has to take this team or this conference or whatever. And just, like, let it rip, you know?
I think that's got to come to an end now that there's not a Pac-12. I think that some of this is going to get less set in stone as far as like the preference.
But it's like the Citrus Bowl is always Big Ten and SEC. And it's like, let's rip that up. We don't need that. Part of me wonders do you think we'll see a situation here in the next couple of years where players are offered like bowl game bonuses if they win? Like the Fiesta Bowl is like, hey, we have an allotment of like $500,000. For your team to be distributed out to your players if you win, or if some of the NIL stipulations will be like, this portion of your yearly payment comes after you play your active in a bowl game on the sidelines.
Did you hear Harbaugh basically say that? He's like, hey, I know we're going to a 12 team and there's going to be more revenue. Let's just make sure it goes to the kids. It's like, Jim, I appreciate you sticking up for your players. Maybe now's not the time to take shots. Like, let's focus on Michigan winning in the playoff and not take shots at the NCAA.
My man's recruiting. That's all he's doing. He's like, I'm going to be the anti-Dabo. Okay. I'm going to be like, let's pay the kids more, right? Let's become socialist to the kid. Actually, he's not going to do that. But he's like, it's smart. But I also think if I'm Jim, every press conference I give, I'm going to be like, you know, I've got my eyes on that team. We're spying on them. In the film room, I'm just laying all like our defense felt like a big old cheeseburger in there. I'm just layering all of the stuff, you know, puns intended at all times with that.
I mean, that would be great. As far as like more money, you're telling me that when NC State and Kansas State play in the Pop-Tarts Bowl and they've already said that the mascot is going to be partially edible.
Okay. Love it.
So they're going to be able to take a bite out of the mascot or something to this effect, or there's going to be a giant Pop-Tart there or something. You're telling me the kids need money too?
Yeah.
That's not enough.
It's not unless the kids can take a bite out of the Pop-Tart. Mm. If it's like after you score a touchdown or get a turnover, you have 30 seconds to chase that thing down and take a big old bite out.
Okay. The winner gets the brown sugar Pop-Tart and then the loser gets like the blank strawberry Pop-Tart.
See, this is a fundamental spiritual disagreement we have. I'm a no icing because I'm not a baby. I'm a plain Pop-Tart kind of guy. So I would have reversed that, you know?
So you don't ever use jelly on top of anything? I guess that's more of the innards, but I'm just saying like adding something sweet on top. So you like cinnamon rolls without icing on them then?
I do actually. Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
This is the biggest lie of all time. Ashley,
the Pop-Tart is more egregious because the sweet stuff's in the middle. So you need the sweet stuff on top too. Is there no limit to the needs of sweet stuff? Like, do you just need the whole thing to be built out of jelly? You could just get a jar of jelly. You know that, right? So I don't know.
But yeah, a jar of jelly with icing on it and then bread. That sounds delicious.
Like crumbled up crackers in a jelly jar. Like that's basically a Pop-Tart, like at this point of what you're talking about. I did have some issues with some of the names. You know, like I saw
Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl that the Notre Dame's playing in.
I mean,
you couldn't even call it the Frosted Flakes Bowl.
It's not my favorite.
It's not my favorite. I don't like, I'll tell you that right now.
Mowers Pinstripe Bowl. These are just words. This is like,
oh, that's real.
I screenshot it.
I thought that was a joke by somebody. I thought that was a Photoshop.
No, it's just Mad Libs words. You know, there needs to be like a verb.
Why is the Bad Boy Mowers? I get the Pinstripe Bowls at Yankee Stadium. What do those two things have to do with each other?
I don't even know what a Bad Boy
the
Mower
is. The Wasabi Fenway Bowl?
That was another issue I had. The Tax Act Texas Bowl. I just don't love that.
I kind of like that one. Like, put some teams that put Arizona in that game. They've had some financial issues.
Okay, see, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with building. I'm okay with have like the Peach Bowl and the Cotton Bowl, and then figure out draft the matchup, And then if there's a clever inroad to the matchup, you can be like, boom, this is whatever, Morgan and Morgan, Lawyer Bowl, because this coach got into trouble and had to get a lawyer.
Yes, I think there's some, thank you. It has to relate. Yeah,
there's some dovetailing opportunities that we're just missing.
And then that bowl followed that law firm bowl just follows around Bobby Petrino everywhere
exactly,
he goes.
Exactly. Sponsored by. I think
okay. Instead of certain conferences, it's like coordinations to coaches because the kids leave after a couple of years. Like Jim Harbaugh is always going to be in the Conoco Minolta Camera Bowl.
That's right. Or whole milk. Like I think in a lifetime, we're going to get like this team's coached by Bobby Petrino, presented by Morgan and Morgan. You know, like these coaches are just going to sell their like presentation or presenting rights. And
I'm okay, why do we have this one? Military Bowl presented by GoBowling.com.
I mean, what? It just
why isn't it just the GoBowling.com military?
That feels
bowl?
Like a song from Songbirds and Rattlesnakes movie. Like that just feels beautiful. Like it rolls right off the tongue. You know.
You know what we're getting really close to? We're getting really close to like sequels and colons. Oh. So it's going to be like Cheez-Its colon the
extra
big one,
toasty, or
like
colon, Cheez-Its colon part two,
white cheddar. Like they're just gonna have a second bowl with a colon in their name, like a sequel.
Who's gonna be the first bowl to blink and start doing it Super Bowl style and be like, this is Cheez-It Bowl 39. Boom, we're back. Oh my god.
Start it.
I hate it. I hate it all, man. I hate it all.
I love it all. I didn't do a lot of college football for a long time. I would just check in on Notre Dame here and there and in the big games, whatever. Michigan, Ohio State. But I always, always love bowl scenes. It just seems like such unnecessary chaos.
Yeah.
All at the same time. And then it just ends so abruptly.
It does. It ends very abruptly. And then it's just kind of like stratified. And it's like, oh, SMU's playing Boston College right now? I was getting ready to go to a wide open party. Should I watch this?
Maybe. I mean, we were talking about having a draft, like who gets in. I want to be involved. I want to have like, remember when there was like that online poll to name that one boat or whatever?
And Bodie people McBoatface.
Were like steaming Bodie McSteam Boatface. Like if they let us do some of that, then you got to be back in.
I'm back in 100% on that if that's the case. But yeah, otherwise it'll be interesting. I'm excited for the New Year's Day matchups and some of the six ones. I mean, the Georgia Florida State matchup's going to be fascinating.
Ole Miss Penn State is fun for you, a team you hate with a coach you love, a coach you hate versus a
Stakes
coach you love.
For me.
That's fun.
I don't like that matchup, and I don't like watching James Franklin beat my favorite coach. You know, that's not going to be fun for me.
Oh, I like Ole Miss in that one. I actually, now here's one you might be interested. If McCord's gone from Ohio State, Missouri-Ohio State becomes a very interesting matchup. And by interesting, I mean very fun to see if your boy, what's his name? Eli Drinkwitz?
The Drink, that's right.
See if he can do something against your other boy, Ryan.
I don't doubt him. I don't doubt him. You know, I'm going to be taking Missouri in that. So, it'll be interesting to see. I don't know if we're going to do like a Bowl Mania bracket or anything like that, like a Pick'ems. But we'll talk off air and figure out if we're going to do anything for that. But as always, I'm Knox. He's Jason. We'll see you next time.
When we made our McDonald's Spicy Chicken McNuggets, you were praise hands emoji. Then we ran out, and you were streaming tears emoji. Now they're back, so you can be grinning face with sweat emoji. Order ahead on the McDonald's app.
And get money mouth face emoji with two orders of crispy, irresistible 10-piece McNuggets, spicy or classic, for just $6. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Single item at regular price. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.